Good morning, welcome to our meeting. It's 9:00 AM on March 5th, 2024. And time to convene a regular meeting with Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. To my right is Commissioner Tony Olson, our Vice President. Table to my near right is John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Colin Wimblebrock, Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. Allison Morrison is to my left, Clerk of the Board, and Jenny Rich is to the far right, Deputy Clerk of the Board. And I'm sorry, John Harlow is our CEO General Manager, and Colin is our General Counsel. Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, our Secretary, is absent today. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute or turn off your cell phones or other electronic devices. This session is for the Board and CEO General Manager to study and discuss issues around ourselves and with PUD staff. So first up is item one on our agenda, our CEO General Manager briefing and study session. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Commissioners. Lots of good stuff on the agenda today. I want to start by introducing our new Customer and Energy Services AGM, John Hoffman. He stole John, not directly from, but he was with one of our competitors, Tacoma, and has a great background, and we are super excited to have him here.
Good morning, and I'm super excited to be here at the district. Looking forward to getting advice from each of you about where I should move to from Pierce County. So you all might be a little biased, I know, in your recommendations, but I will be looking forward to it. Again, as John said, I've been in customer services for 26 years now and 12 years at Tacoma Public Utilities. We're at the opportunity to serve their communities, and I'm looking forward to serving our community here. So feel free to reach out should you need anything. I'm looking forward to working you closely in the future.
Great.
Your most recent was Washington Energy Services?
It was Anderson Windows, actually.
Oh, actually, okay, all right. Oh, well, talk.
There you go. Do you have any warranty issues? I still have contacts, like.
I will say their marketing is very effective.
Well, that's good.
Between that and bike and cruises, I don't know. Anything more content?
Welcome.
Thank you, pleasure.
Nice to meet you. Well, glad you're here.
First up is Aaron Swaney with our media update. Morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Commissioners. Good morning, John. Good to be here. Hope everybody had a safe trip in. Funny weather we've got going on. And ironically, the first story that I wanted to mention was the one on the snowpack. Hopefully the weather we're having right now is going to help out a little bit. Harold reached out, wanted to do a story, kind of talking about the low snowpack numbers that they were seeing. Got him in touch with Scott Spar, manager of generation. Scott did a great job talking about how snow really is a battery for us, right? It gets stuck up in the mountains, and then we use it a lot in the summer to power during those hot days. So that turned out to be, I think, a pretty good story, and just kind of educating customers about how snowpack is a big deal around here with all the hydro we have. A revenue adjustment story that ran in Snohomish Tribune. We also sent out a blurb in our February e-wire to 280,000 customers talking about the revenue adjustment, promoting the chance to come in and make public comment. So we'll see more about that hopefully after today. Additional media coverage, kind of a miscellaneous. Everett Delta Line has been getting some press lately. Harold did a story, King 5 did a story as well, talking about the alternative routes that we've put out there, the open house we held. You know, like I said before, this is really good to be transparent early on in the process, and really that's kind of a lot to do with our messaging right now. My Everett News covered the open house and kind of talked about how many people were there and all that. Wild weather, obviously a lot of snow and wind this month. Harold and Seattle Times have been doing a little bit of coverage on that and just kind of updating folks on what's going on with outages. Miscellaneous other stories, Mount Lake Terrace approved the interurban trail easement agreement. Our February Herald column was on the new and improved outage map and all the capabilities we've got with that. And we also recently won an award. I'm not sure if I should break the news here, but we are honored by Chartwell with the bronze for all the work that team's done.
My what?
Chartwell.
What is that?
Chartwell is, can someone help me with explaining what Chartwell is?
Chartwell is an industry group that pulls together utilities across the country and really focuses on outage communication, customer experience types of efforts. And I will talk a little bit more about it this afternoon in my report, but yeah, our team was honored with a bronze award for our outage communication tool, Outage Map.
That is great.
Yeah.
Well deserved, and a lot of work has gone into that. So. Also on top of this, I wanted to add, we had John Heeb and Susie Oversvee join the APPA podcast to talk about the GRIP grant and kind of a lot of the things we're doing with DOE and getting grants, and how, you know, that grant writing process takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort for all of our people, and they really represented the district well. So it was nice to get that opportunity with APPA.
Great.
Yeah, it's good.
And as I've said before, grant writing is important.
It is. Definitely. It takes a village.
It's a lot of work.
It is. Yeah. We have great people here.
Free money is not free.
Yeah. And on podcasts, we're actually trying out some new marketing on podcasts, and we have some ads running in some iHeartRadio podcasts. And so we'll see how the response is from customers, but just trying out some new things and trying to meet customers where they are. Locations. Kelly Stickney worked with City of Snohomish and City of Linwood to get some stories in their community news magazines. So we've got one on all of our changes to our app and signing up for text alerts. And we've also got one on Connect Up and the Snow Smart Grant. So just getting the information out there any way we can.
Did we switch out this picture from John's picture?
Which one?
The picture of installing a meter.
Oh yeah, no, this is a different publication.
Oh, okay.
This is in the City of Snohomish Community Spotlight.
Oh, I see, okay.
Yeah.
It's not our picture.
No.
Okay, now I understand.
And then lastly, Krista Rasmussen, our great photographer, took home two third place finishes for photos. This one with a drone was an amazing shot of Spada, and then her other photo was a nice one of Hancock Calico.
It really is a beautiful picture.
And then lastly, would be remiss if I didn't unveil our new mascots. We've got new costumes for Zip and Zap.
Oh my gosh.
So I wanted to invite them in and let you see them. A lot of work went into getting these costumes. Kelly Stickney and her group did a ton of work doing this. And we're doing training, so we're training people to wear the mascot costumes and also to handle. So you see there's two handlers. Every mascot's got to have somebody that helps them walk around, because you cannot see anything in those, yeah, in those pads.
Is there a height limitation to fit into those?
I don't think there's a height limitation.
Oh, okay.
No, not in these ones. There was in the previous one, the previous costume. You could only be so tall. These, no. Mm-hmm. So we're going to officially unveil the mascots at our Energy Block Party, and then Krista's also going to make a fun video. So, look forward to that. Kelsey's taking some photos.
Oh, okay. You got a picture of it. Okay.
So, are they warm inside?
They are very hot. Yes. Very hot. And, yes. And they come with a little fan that did not quite work.
Oh, really?
It was like a breath of air. It was not really a fan. So, we're trying to figure out how in the summer. Yeah.
Not like we need heat pump.
Yeah. A little mini heat pump.
Well, welcome, Zip and Zap.
Well, thank you, Zip and Zap.
I bow down to you as you will represent the utility very well. The kids love you. They just love you.
Oh, they're going to love these costumes so much. Thank you, guys. That's it for me.
Hold the tail. Oh, that is great. Get a bushy tail.
Wow, thank you, Aaron. I did not know that was coming. Very exciting. Next up, we do have a brief legislative update from Ryan Collins, who is online. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, commissioners. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Taking that as a yes. Okay, perfect. For the record, this is Ryan Collins, the District State Government and External Affairs Specialist.
Yeah, hear you well. We're going to turn you up.
Oh, perfect. Let me know. I know this is only a Q&A session, but before opening for questions, I wanted to do a quick update since we're in the final week of the 2024 legislative session and things are moving pretty quickly.
Hey, Ryan?
Yeah.
Hang on just a sec. We're still having a little trouble hearing
you. Oh, no problem.
Well, now we can hear you.
Okay. Perfect. I just wanted to do a quick update before opening up for questions, just because it is the last week of session and a couple things have actually changed since our report and things are moving quickly. So since I submitted my report this past Friday, both HB 1589, the PSE decarbonization bill, and HB 2199, the Climate Commitment Act tax exemption bill, passed out of their opposite chamber ahead of cutoff, which was at 5 p.m. of this past Friday. HB 1589 will now head back to the House for a concurrence vote, while HB 2199 will be delivered to the governor for his consideration. Speaking of governor signatures, HB 2156, which relates to solar installation consumer protections, and HB 1955, the greenhouse gas disclosure repeal bills, have been delivered to the governor on March 1st. As you may recall, the governor has a certain amount of time to act on legislation. Since these proposals were delivered with over 5 days left in session, the governor has 5 days to act. For bills that are delivered with less than 5 days left in session, the governor has over 20 days to act. Finally, this is my last update. The supplemental budgets are still in the process of being finalized. And while we're waiting for the final text, we are continuing to cull through the budgets and identify places that could impact our operations. As such, my budget update will have to wait until the final legislative recap for commission. And with that, happy to take other questions.
No.
No questions. Thank you for the report.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Next up, we have Maureen Barnes for two property sale of a portion of property in the city of Lake Stevens and disposal of a mobile home located on district property. Morning, Maureen.
Good morning. Maureen Barnes, manager of real estate services. And our first presentation is to talk about the surplus and sale of some property to the city of Lake Stevens. And I have Brant Wood here also, the assistant general manager for water, and he's going to help me out on this also. So the purpose of the presentation is, again, to inform you of an upcoming request to go ahead and declare surplus a portion of the property and allow the sale to the city of Lake Stevens. Want to be able to answer any questions regarding the transaction, and we will be back on March 19th for a public hearing and vote via resolution. So a little bit of background. In 2020, City of Lake Stevens began discussions with us, with water, for a slope easement to accommodate upgrades for 20th Street Southeast and the extension of 91st Avenue Southeast, and that was for the Costco that was going in. During these discussions, it was clear that a slope easement was going to utilize a substantial amount of the property due to the fact that it really just drops right off. We had previously granted an easement for a little bit of widening of 20th Street Southeast, so you can, in some other pictures, you'll be able to see that a little bit. Anyway, extensive retaining walls were needed on three sides, both north, east, and south, which would then increase the easement footprint. Additionally, the current pump station that was there, called East Hewitt, was built in the 1960s and really nearing the end of its useful life. So this is what it did look like. And as you can see, the elevation really does drop off. And the little pump house from the 60s. If you want it.
I want to add a little bit of color commentary on that picture. Brant Wood, AGM of the Water Utility, you go back. This was actually right before in 2019, the pump station, the existing pump station was built in the 60s, was kind of down in a hole, and a car actually came off the road off 20th Street.
Oh.
And that's why the fence was broken. It actually hit the, so these are pictures from when an accident occurred where a car actually came down the hill and fell into the hole. So again, that was some of the rationale behind. We didn't really want to have our pump station down in a 20-foot deep hole ravine, and it really was a win-win between the PUD and City of Lake Stevens because of all the effort as far as the construction phasing, They had to raise Everett's community transmission lines right there. So it really was a win-win between two public agencies to go ahead and abandon our existing pump station, let them do this work, build the wall up, and provide us a new pad for the future, for our future pump station that I think it's somewhere in the 2029 range.
But. Yeah.
So does that mean we won't have a pump station for a while?
Yeah, we're planning on in the CIP 2029 putting in, but again, the city built, and you'll see some pictures later on, built the pad, brought all the piping in, so it's ready to go. So it's in good shape for the future when we need the additional capacity.
Thanks. Okay, so during these ongoing meetings, the district proposed an alternate plan, which was really considered, as Brant said, a win-win for both the district and the city of Lake Stevens. We would abandon the East Hewitt pump station in advance of the construction and allow the city's contractor to demo those facilities, giving them room to construct the necessary road improvements coming through. The city would then build the retaining walls, leaving a large flat area for road improvements and a building pad for a future pump station to be constructed in 2029, along with the following improvement: completely fenced, a building pad, electrical conduits, a new water meter vault, and piping to the city of Everett's main taps, number 2 and 3 of the transmission water lines. This led to more efficient construction staging and lower construction costs for the city and improved access for the district. Once work was completed in 2022, the city then did transfer all of those new facilities over to the district via a bill of sale. And this is what it looks like now. You can see it's quite the improvement. Here is the property right there, and we're looking at the entire parcel only consists of about 1/4 acre. And it was initially acquired back in the 1960s to put this pump station in. The property will be, the amount of property that the city will be purchasing is 2,300 square feet. They will be paying us $13,834 for the acquisition. And that includes a reduction of $18,166, which is the in-kind valuation for a portion of the improvements that the city had made on behalf of the district. We did do an appraisal, and this does reflect the actual amount of the appraisal. Here's just another better picture of where that new pump station is going to be, and you can just see it's really nice. So our next steps, district staff, including our legal department, have reviewed and approved the request and the bill of sale. Real Estate Services also recommends approving the request. March 19th, we will be back for a public hearing and commissioners to vote on the resolution. If the vote is favorable, we will execute a purchase and sale agreement, which legal has already looked at, with the city, and expect to close the transaction within 30 days from there. Now, any questions?
I have no questions.
Did you want to say anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right, I'm going to jump right into this one. So this is the surplus and disposal of a mobile home located on district property. And if you remember, we were back to see you November 7th and again on November 21st to purchase the site. So the purpose of the presentation is to inform the board of our intent to declare surplus a mobile home located on district property and allow the removal and disposal of the structure. And this transaction will be back before you for the public. Well, I'm not sure if there will be. I don't think there needs to be a public hearing, but it will be back for vote on March 19th. This has kind of gone a little bit back and forth. On if we need the public hearing.
Okay,
we will. Sorry about that. So November 2023, commissioners granted approval to purchase approximately 3 acres along the Sultan River. when we talked about it, included in the sale was a mobile home from 1976. It really is no longer habitable. It's very close to the river, and it just simply needs to be removed. During our November 7th presentation, we kind of broached the subject, yet we did not state it in the resolution approving the purchase of the property. The mobile home is considered permanently attached to the property, and we felt that it was prudent to have this asset declared surplus to the current and future needs of the district. As you can see here, these are just showing again where it is, and we also own an additional 5 acres. So currently the mobile home has had the locks changed, windows and doors have been secured against anybody potentially trying to get entry. Due to the age of the mobile home, we will have all the testing done to ensure that there's no asbestos and or lead paint or any other toxins present. The septic tank will be decommissioned. We'll be obtaining all permits in order for us to take this away. Fees for removal will be paid through the Habitat Enhancement Account, which is the one that had granted the money from the Aquatic Resource Committee, had voted to approve it. They also approved the purchase of the property. Our facilities department is going to be managing the permitting, removal, and the disposal. I also have Keith Binkley here, in case there's anything I can't answer. So our next steps will be to seek the approval of the commission at the March 19th meeting. And yes, we will be having a public hearing and the resolution to approve the disposal of the mobile home. Legal has reviewed all of this and does recommend this action. Real estate services, natural resources, and facilities also recommend the approval. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have no questions other than the comment that due diligence on other toxins in that good to go.
So I assume we're going to destroy the mobile home, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And we'll contract that portion out.
Thank you. I know that.
Right.
Good job. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you, guys.
That concludes our presentations for this morning.
Wow. Yeah. That's like a first.
Yeah. I don't know.
Isn't the new guy supposed to do some kind of skin or something? Isn't that what we normally do? Well, a skit, you know.
Hey, I'm
we do want to keep them, shit.
We'll wait till he leaves here. Okay, it is now 9:22 a.m., and the board will recess into executive session to discuss current or potential litigation under the terms set forth in the Open Public Meeting Act. It's anticipated the executive session will last approximately 30 minutes and conclude at 9:52 a.m. The regular meeting will reconvene here in the commission room at 1:30 p.m. Again, Vance, right?
Yes.